Hey, hey, and welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm super happy to have you today. This podcast is dedicated to honoring the woman within the mother and the woman within ourselves, mother or not. We are talking about the divine feminine, educating ourselves on our body, learning how to love ourselves a little bit better, and meet some really interesting people along the way. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get to it. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Meet Me Downstairs. Today we are talking about sex, one of our favorite topics on this podcast. And in particular, we're talking about overcoming sexual fears and anxieties. And I think that this is a pretty universal topic because no matter how we identify, what we're into, what our beliefs are about sex, probably there are some anxieties and fears wrapped up within all of it. So to help us break this down a little bit deeper, we have a wonderful guest named Portia Brown, who is the founder of froeticsexology.com, which is a blog and social media platform that helps women do some deep diving and healing when it comes to their sexual desires and becoming free sexual beings. I found Portia on Instagram and started following her right away because her content was just super relatable, and I feel like so many people can kind of understand what she's talking about and feel a little bit less alone when it comes to sex. So that's what she's here to do today. She is a sex educator, a sex coach. She has been featured in Cosmopolitan Magazine, Glamour UK. She's done a ton of different podcasts, and now she is doing ours. So let's get into sexual anxieties and fears and how we can understand why we feel those things and maybe work towards having some really good sex in the very near future. All right, so we are back with another episode and have the amazing Portia Brown, also known as Phoretic Sexology, joining us to talk about sexual anxieties and fears. So Portia, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I love recording podcasts. I love having these conversations, so I'm excited to chat with you today.
Oh, me too. So to start, I always like to do like a little fun rapid fire question. It's the same for every guest, and we just kind of get to know you a little bit in like an icebreakery kind of way, and then we can talk all about sex.
Okay.
All right. So sunrise or sunset?
Sunsets.
Poetry books or novels?
Novels.
Favorite guilty pleasure?
Cheesecake and ice cream. Ooh. Any sweets?
Me too, kind of. A feeling that you love to feel?
Desire.
That's a good one for you, I think. A feeling you don't like to feel?
Anxiety. Mm.
A current streaming binge?
Ooh, I've been listening to a lot of Ari Lennox lately.
Okay.
Is that streaming TV?
It doesn't matter. Anything. That's
musically, I've been listening to a lot of Ari Lennox, and I'm always watching Survivor on TV.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I've watched Survivor.
That's Get good. Into it.
Oh my gosh. But this question really is for me so that I can get new ideas from people on like what they're watching or what they're listening to. So thank you.
Yes.
And then I guess a musician you love right now would, I guess, be the same.
Probably Ari Lennox and Megan Thee Stallion always.
Always. She makes you feel really good.
Yes, exactly.
One of your favorite things about being a woman?
My connection to the divine.
Beautiful. Okay, well, that's it. So short but sweet.
Love it.
But yeah, so today we're going to talk about sexual anxieties, fears, and limitations that we either put on ourselves or in a way society kind of puts on us. And I suppose how we can kind of recognize those things, work through them, find ourselves ultimately, I guess, in a more loving relationships with the sexual part of who we are. And I love your Instagram, and your reels are so fun. And when I've been following you for a little while, and I was like, you know what, I'm reaching out to her. I feel like she's the best person to talk about this with. And we've talked about, you know, great sexual topics on this podcast, and it's always something that I like to explore deeper, but we haven't really gone into anxieties, which I know comes up like often, probably for anyone. But I guess before we dive into that, I would love to know maybe a little insight into what led you down this path to becoming a sexologist.
Yeah. So I always like to blame my mom. I always blame mama. My journey began when I was in puberty. This isn't exactly a career that I had picked out for myself or anything that I did intentionally. But you know, I'm a kid of the 90s and my mom was not keen on talking to me about sex. But she is loving and brilliant and resourceful. So she gave me a couple of books when I was like about to start puberty, which created this association for me that like, oh, this is something I have to kind of explore on my own and educate myself around. And that led me to reading like pretty much every book about sex in my local public library.
Wow.
Some of them were like romance novels, but a lot of them were, you know, the self-help books that were available at the time for women and couples looking to explore their relationship with sexuality. And I thought this was completely normal at like the age of 12, 11, 14, and so on. But then I got to college and by this point I was sexually active and I was having conversations with my friends and I realized like they didn't really know anything. And I didn't really know a whole lot at the time, but I had a lot more access to some information, some fact-based sex education that a lot of my friends just, and myself, we didn't get in public school. So I started doing some volunteering on my college campus, helping other students and student-led organizations learn about consent, learn about safer sex and things of that nature. But I was going to school to become a journalist. So when I graduated, I pursued that path and continued to work in television news. And around 2018, I discovered that was not the path for me. It was not really in alignment with who I was and what I wanted to do with my time long term. So I started searching and started writing some things on my own. I started a couple of blogs and creative projects. And one day my partner said, like, why don't you start doing something about like relationships or sexuality? Like, why don't you see what's there? Because you're always reading about it. You're always watching YouTube videos about it. So just see. And so I started Froetic Sexology on Instagram a year later, just about. And I just started writing my truth, my experiences. I started having conversations about myths about sexuality and things like that. And everything sort of snowballed from there. Luckily, I was able to create a really intimate and thriving community. And people started DMing me their questions, which led to me taking calls from people. And then eventually I started offering coaching.
That's amazing. What, like, it was kind of just like in your path from the beginning to be doing this work, which is very cool. So thanks for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So yes. Okay. So sexual anxieties, I feel like this is pretty universal, no matter how you identify or what your sex life looks like. There tends to be like little things underneath that maybe stem from insecurity, whether it's how you look, how you perform, maybe not knowing what to do, your kinks or trying to communicate those, feeling judged, just like all around being in this like vulnerable state of your nakedness, whatever that is. And I did a couple of polls on my Instagram and stuff like that and talked to other women. And I feel like the list was endless and so different for every person, but also a lot of similarities. So I just thought I would, I mean, I'm sure in your work, you're hearing about these things all the time. What do you find are the most like common anxieties that you see or hear when it comes to sex?
Oh, am I doing it right?
Yeah.
Is this thing that I like or that I do normal? Body image issues and what we call spectatoring. So while having sex with someone, thinking about what they may be thinking about, how you look, trying to predict what they think about, you know, your belly jiggle or whatever. A lot of, am I doing this right? Like, am I sexy enough? Am I good enough? Am I performing properly? Yeah. When in reality, that doesn't actually exist. That's not really a thing. But those would be, yeah, those are the first things that come to mind. I'm sure there are loads more, but a lot of, am I normal and am I doing this right?
Yeah, Def, that's kind of what I imagined. And how do you think we can kind of break those things down or like work around them?
Yeah, I think first of all, we are in such a beautiful time and space mm-hmm. because there are so many more conversations being had in real time, in real relationships, offline, but also online. This podcast, for example,
yeah.
Instagram, blogs, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many more conversations about sexuality and therefore so much more exposure to this full spectrum of what's possible for us as sexual beings. I think what inhibits us and what gives us this idea that we aren't normal, that we aren't doing sex properly, or that there even is a best or better or right way to do mm-hmm. sex is the way that mainstream porn and Hollywood and TV sort of display sex for us. And it's a very, very, very narrow scope of what is possible for us sexually. First of all, it's almost always cisgender, heterosexual, able-bodied, thin, beautiful people, right? When the vast majority of the world is not thin, not white, maybe not heterosexual and cisgender, or at least a good chunk of us do not actually show up that way. So the sex that we are presented with just off rip, just off the start, is not going to be what we embody and how we show up. So having these conversations that sort of show a deeper and wider scope of options as far as how we can show up sexually is a good way to start. And on the individual level, I would say beginning to not pull away from porn and mainstream media, but looking at it for what it is. It's a yeah. fantasy. It's not, porn is not sex and sex is not porn. Mm. The love scenes in Hollywood movies, those are fantasies as well, right? And that's not to demonize Hollywood. That's not to demonize pornography in general, but it is a challenge and a call to action for us to begin to think of it as what it actually is. It's not something for us to imitate. It is something for us to use as a fantasy and to enhance our real experiences.
Yeah, it's so true. And I really like what you said about porn is not sex and sex is not porn, because I feel like those can just become so intertwined. And we just also have so much access to an immaculate amount of sexual content. I mean, way more now than there ever has been in the world. And people are accessing it at much younger ages. And it's kind of like instilling this viewpoint that we have on sex from very young. And those are like such formative years. And I feel like that can really just affect the way that we interact in a sexual manner as we continue to kind of get older.
Yeah, I just to interject for an example, I had a workshop a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about initiating sex, but something else came up and people were talking about feeling difficulty around being sexy and what that means and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And one thing that someone said is, you know, I noticed that I would make a lot of sounds during sex that were inauthentic. And I realized where it came from was porn, because in porn, the sounds are so continuous. It's like, if you're not screaming at the top of your lungs for a full 20 minutes, then you're not having a good time. And she said, I started to notice that in order to orgasm, I actually needed to get really quiet in order to enjoy myself and really sort of sink into my body. I needed to get really quiet. And all those years I spent fake moaning, or at least enhancing and performatively moaning and doing all this thing, I finally realized like that was me imitating porn, because that's what I was exposed to. And that was my first idea of what it meant to tell my partner that, hey, I'm enjoying this. I really, really like this. Instead of just doing what was authentic and maybe having a conversation that said, hey, I know that usually people scream and yell, but when I'm really quiet, that's when I'm really, really into it. I'm really, really enjoying myself, right? So that's just an example of many of how insidious some of these things are in terms of how they might alter the way that we try to show up when we're being intimate.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find, like, speaking, I suppose, from a heteronormative standpoint, that the types of anxieties men have are different to women, or do you feel like they're kind of stemming from the same place?
So I actually only work with women and femmes. Right, I don't work with men, but I do have conversations with people who have sex with men, and a lot of their insecurities are similar. Performance anxiety is very, very real. There is equal but different kinds of pressure for men to show up in sex in a very particular way, to be very dominant, to be big and strong, to be the one that makes their partner feel good and orgasm, and also know how to do that without any conversation or any discussion, to sort of walk into the bedroom and be the person to lead their partner to pleasure without knowing a single solitary thing about their body, right? So a lot of the pressures are different, but they are still there. Obviously, society puts a very particular type of pressure on women that men simply don't have, but we can't sit here and talk about sex without talking about the ways that society expects men to show up in sexually as well.
Absolutely, because I was talking to a guy about this as well, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, it's like, you have to be hard, stay hard, perform for a longer amount
of time. Last for 2 hours. Yeah.
Yes. And then make a woman, well, if you're having a heterosexual relationship, make a woman come, or whatever, your partner come, make sure that they're feeling pleasure. And then on the other side, like feeling this as a woman, it's like, I want to perform. I want to look sexy. I want to maybe feel like the porn stars feel and make my partner come or do all of these things. And it's just like on all both sides, maybe it's just stemming from wanting to do a good job.
Yes.
And I feel like that takes you away from the moment in so many ways.
No, I agree. And that's where performance-based sex is our enemy.
Yeah.
And instead, we can and should begin to talk to our partners about what it looks like to pivot towards more pleasure-based sex.
Yeah.
I'm not here to put on a show for you. You're not here to put on a show for me. How can we create the most pleasurable experience for the both of us, whether that ends an orgasm or not for one or both of us, whether that lasts 8 minutes or 8 hours, how can we create this together and see what happens from there? That to me is way more exciting and creates a lot more possibility than how can I imitate this porn that I watched when I was 12? You know, like how can I imitate this very narrow idea of what pleasure and sexuality looks like?
Yeah, definitely. And I think communication about that stuff can be difficult. You know, it's like almost like this thing that we've been told. I mean, now it's different, but I suppose for our age group, even in the 90s, talking about sex was super, super taboo. So these, whether it's kinks or like things that we like, we don't know how to really express those. And even now, like, I mean, I'm single, not currently sexually active, but I find it really difficult, even though I like talk on a podcast and I'm like preaching openness, to put those things out there is hard. Like, how do you think we can make or an environment feel safe to have an open conversation about sex?
Yeah. The number one thing that people tell me when I encourage them to talk more to their partners, even one night stands and flings and casual encounters, they're like, well, wouldn't it be awkward? I'm like, I've never known anyone to die of awkwardness. Like, we have to stop being so afraid of shit being awkward. Like, For anyone listening, if you've never had a conversation about sex with a partner, the first time, the first two or three times that you attempt to do it, it's going to be awkward. So just get over it. We can't let that be the thing that inhibits us, because the only thing standing between, not the only thing, but one of the main things standing in the way of you and phenomenal sexual experiences is a conversation. Yeah. And we have to stop acting like, especially in this day and age, so many women, so many people are very successful. We're doing things that have never been done. We're creating new worlds for ourselves and new opportunities for ourselves. You're afraid to talk to someone about sex. Like, come on now. If you can stand in front of a boardroom, if you can raise children, if you can do whatever, you can talk to your partner for 5 minutes and endure 5 minutes of kind of awkwardness in an effort to have better sex. And I know that's easier said than done. Trust me, I'm a sex coach. And there are things that when I have to like put my good big girl panties on and talk to my partner about relationship wise and sexually, it's like, okay, I'm going to take 5 deep breaths in the bathroom. I'm going to say affirmations in the mirror, just hype myself up so I can do this. But you have to do it, right? Yeah. This is a part of adulthood. And this is a part of having really lively and thriving and beautiful intimate relationships. And we have to remember that it's our responsibility to be and create the change that we would like to see in the world. Mm-hmm. So if you want to live in a world where it's not awkward to talk about sex, babe, you got to start having more conversations with your partners about sex. Practical tips, practice having the conversation before, just as you would prepare for a presentation in college or a meeting with your employer.
Yeah.
Write down 3 talking points, go through them and say, this is what I want to talk about with my partner. Think about not what they're going to say. Don't try to predict their reactions to what you're going to say, but prepare for it. And then go in with confidence and have a conversation about what pleasure can look like for the two of you. Don't go in blind, because that's going to cause you to feel a lot less prepared. It's going to cause you to feel a lot more disheveled. Prepare for it. Write down things that you want to say, put them in the notes app on your phone, and go in and thug it out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think maybe it's also just like a shift in perspective, like within ourselves, or even like looking at our own relationship with sex, or even trying to have a conversation with yourself about what you like. Because I think that sometimes that's really hard to do, trying to figure out, what does pleasure feel like for me? Or like, how can I enjoy pleasure more just on my own, you know, which is also new.
Primarily what I work when I work with people. That's primarily what we spend a lot of time on, because the hesitation around having these conversations, the hesitation around initiating talks about sex comes from, well, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't actually have talking points. I don't actually have guidelines for my partners. I don't have directives for them, because I know what I like. I know how to make myself orgasm, or maybe I haven't gotten to a place where I've even discovered that yet.
Yeah.
So how am I going to guide or direct them? And that's where having a pleasure practice, meaning having ways that you engage with yourself intimately. Notice I'm not saying masturbating, though that's a beautiful way to do that. A pleasure practice can look so many different ways. But finding ways to engage with your body, finding ways to connect with your body intimately, and begin to figure out, like, what kind of sensations do I like, even if it's not sexual? What kind of touch do I enjoy? Am I like a tickly kind of person? Do I like more of a, like, kneading or massage, light touch? Like, just beginning to explore within yourself. That can be a great way to start. And we have to remember that this shit is lifelong. It's an eternal journey of discovery. Your body is going to shift and change over time. Your partners are going to shift and change over time. And if you're in a long-term relationship, their bodies are going to shift and change over time, right? So just opening yourself up to continual discovery and making it a priority in your life. That's one thing that I find people have a hard time doing. We think about sex as this thing that we're supposed to just know everything about, like, you're supposed to just have it figured out and naturally know what feels good, naturally know how to make your partner feel good. But sex is just like anything else. It's like finances or cooking or learning a new skill. And if you don't know something, there are resources out there. There are podcasts out there. There are books. There are YouTube channels. There are all sorts of people that you can hire to help you. And bottom line is, we have to dedicate time and space to discovery in order to be able to have these conversations and have them be effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great thing that kind of leads into my next question anyway, where you're talking about like continuously transforming as a person, and in particular motherhood, which a lot of our listeners are mothers, myself included. And from a personal perspective, my sex life has completely shifted since becoming a mom. I don't think I've ever been so disconnected to the sexual part of me than I do right now. And I feel like in my younger years, I would have considered myself a really sexually active person. And at this point in my life, like, couldn't be further from it. But I feel that this is a common thing that comes up with moms, and especially if they have, you know, a partner that maybe did not birth their baby, it's like they are still kind of moving at a normal pace, but we have just undergone this like insane transformation, whether it's like massive hormonal shifts going on in your body, like your body physically changing and feeling different, or your vulva, if you tore during childbirth, is different. And this, I hate this stereotype of having kids makes your vagina looser.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's not true. It's like, I want to just debunk that right now. But all of these things, oh, I don't know. I just feel like for the moms listening, like, what do you think are ways that we can kind of reconnect to the sexual part of ourselves, even if it's just slowly or a reintroduction? I don't know.
Yeah. Right as I was sort of kicking off this journey to start talking about sex online, I had moved to Brooklyn. I had moved to New York City because my little sister was pregnant. I'm not a mom, but I watched her give birth. I watched her go through her first few weeks with him, first few months with him. And we were having these conversations as well. A lot of my clients are moms. And the number one thing that can block your desire or your connection with your sexuality is stress. And what is going to create a nice, healthy amount of stress other than a new human who's 100% dependent on you and potentially your partner as well. And so for anyone that's listening that might be a new mom, or maybe you have a toddler or whatever, give yourself grace, right? You are constantly, constantly learning and relearning and transforming as you are going through this journey of motherhood. So first and foremost, give yourself grace. You don't have to snap back and become a porn star immediately. Your function and job right now is to take care of you and to take care of your new baby. And that doesn't have to mean that you're robbed of your sexuality and your ability to connect with your body, but you have to give yourself grace as you're going through transitions. Secondly, I would encourage you to lean into your community. All those people that came to your baby shower and bought you diapers and were touching your belly, call them and ask them to come hold this baby. Call them and ask them to come wash some dishes, to ask them if they can mop the floors for you. Ask them if they're able to take anything off of your plate. It takes a village to raise a child. And that doesn't mean just raising the child. That means helping the mom that's breastfeeding the child. That means helping the parent that's disciplining the child. That means helping the person that's up all night with the child. Lean into your community, because you're not the only person that is responsible for this child, though it may seem as if it is. A huge part of sexuality is being able to disconnect from stress, is being able to stay in balance. So leaning in community, while it doesn't feel like it has anything to do with sex and sexuality, it 100% does. So look for help and look for people that you can trust to support you in whatever big and small ways as they can. On a practical level, remembering and reminding yourself that even though you are, but now that you are a mother, we have to reject all of these weird narratives that society tells us about what it means to be sexual and to be someone who has birthed another person and is a parent. Because one of the best things you can do for your kid is remain in contact with your sexual side. Remaining a whole and balanced human being is one of the best things you can do for your child, right? Not abandoning a part of yourself that is important to your healing and identity as a person is one of the best things you can do for your child and for yourself. Finding big and small ways to connect with your body, even if it's you got 5 minutes in the shower and you're not trying to orgasm. You're not trying to even spark arousal, but you're just going to touch your body and make contact and focus in on the sensations happening in your body, right? Finding a few minutes every day, if you can, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to connect with yourself. Whether you're rubbing lotion and oil on your body and you just take a few minutes to sort of really zone in and have an inner dialogue about what sensations and what feelings are coming up. Planning sex. A lot of people think scheduling sex is not sexy. Scheduling intimate time, even if it's masturbation time, they think it's not sexy because we have this narrative. Thank you, Hollywood. Thank you, media. We have this narrative that sex is always supposed to be spontaneous. Yeah. Well, good luck with that, babe. I don't even have a kid, and having spontaneous sex is very difficult because I'm a full grown adult with responsibilities and a job, right? So scheduling time, not necessarily always to have sex, but to be intimate and to prioritize that as part of your relationship with self, as well as with your partner, can be very helpful. Yeah. Everything in life that's important goes on the calendar: weddings, doctor's appointments, whatever it is, it goes on the calendar. So if sex is not happening, put it on your calendar. If intimacy is not happening, put it on your calendar. And I always like to encourage people to not make it mandatory. So let's say you and your partner, or you by yourself, you have a standing date Thursday at 7 p.m. After we load the dishwasher, we're going to go in the bedroom and be intimate. That doesn't necessarily mean sex. Intimacy can happen in many, many ways. That might mean that, you know what, actually tonight I want to hold hands and go for a long walk with you and just talk. That might mean I really want to rub your back, or we can watch porn together or listen to erotica together. Maybe we will journal together or do a meditation. Maybe all of this will lead to sex. Maybe it won't, but we have an opportunity to reconnect, right? Keeping it simple, keeping it very, very simple. But above all, remembering that everything important has to be planned. Everything important has to be made a priority, and it's not going to happen by accident. And giving yourself grace as you're finding this new balance with this new person in your life.
Yeah, I love that. And so this podcast was kind of created as I was 3 months postpartum, and I felt super sort of alone in this new motherhood. And this was 2.5 years ago. And I feel like since the pandemic, people have become much more open, more honest conversations are being had, especially around motherhood and sex and all this kind of stuff. And it's almost just like watching this unfold, which is amazing. But this was sort of created as a sense of honoring the woman within the mother, or the woman within ourselves, like mother or not. And so I always ask this question because I think it's important to, you know, even just like get ideas from other people on how they're honoring the woman within themselves. So how do you honor the woman within you?
Oh man, lately it's been in like how I dress and being comfortable. So right now I'm literally wearing my favorite like Savage X Fenty lingerie onesie. Nice. And a big old hoodie over it. That's what I wanted to wear today. So thinking about how I can balance making myself, helping myself exude the energy I want to exude on a day-to-day basis, but still prioritize my comfort as well. And making sure that I find movement every day is very, very important to me. Whether that mean like I get up and dance for one song in between client calls, or like I actually go to the gym and like do a whole thing. I love this question. I'm going to think a lot more about it, but those are the things that come up right now.
I love that. And then lastly, I suppose before sharing anything that you have going on, is there anything that you want to say that hasn't been said in the podcast already that you just feel like sharing and there's no pressure otherwise, just like about sex, reconnecting with ourselves, anxieties or fears?
Sure. So I always like to encourage people, if they don't have a journaling practice right now, to start one, and specifically a journaling practice for sex and pleasure. And a really easy way to do that is to put it by your bedside And if you are a person who regularly self-pleasures or masturbates, or even not regularly, but having it there so you can jot down whatever thoughts and feelings and emotions come up before, during, and after, just start to record what your feelings are after you've experienced pleasure. Start to record what your thoughts are about sexuality and pleasure, and doing this without any judgment, without assigning any moral value to it, just begin to write these things down and record, and periodically flip back the pages and reflect. I think that people will find that a lot more emotions are there, a lot more realizations and clarity come when we experience pleasure. And a lot of people will discover that some of the stuff that I think about sex and think about my sexuality isn't really mine. So how can I begin to like sort of let all those things go? And above all, like, give yourself grace. Sexual healing and self-discovery is ultimately a journey. It's long-term. And it's not about getting from point A to point B. It's about embracing your innate wholeness.
Yeah.
It's about embracing the fact that you are whole. You always have been, and you always will be whole. And so now we get to go on this journey and just see how things unfold. So I hope for whoever is listening, that is helpful.
Well, it's helpful for me. So thank you so much. And please like share with us what you have going on. Where can people find you? Get involved with what you're doing.
Of course. Okay. Well, again, thank you for having me. I so loved this conversation. If anyone wants to join my community, you can find me at Froetic Sexology on Instagram and Twitter. I have a YouTube channel, but I haven't posted to it in over a year, but hopefully I'll be picking that up in the later half of 2022. I do work one-on-one in my signature program. It is the Mindful Sex and Pleasure Coaching Program. It is for anyone that wants to unlearn performativity, who wants to expand their pleasure practice, who wants to get to the root of what some of their blockages are, and heal their relationship with pleasure. So if that sounds like something you would be interested in, you can go to my blog and my website, which is froeticsexology.com. Or you can just follow me on Instagram, join the vibes. We're having fun over there. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to meeting you all.
Thank you so much. And I will put all of your stuff in the link below and share everything on Instagram, because you do have a really fun Instagram to follow. It's something that I very much enjoy. Thank you so much for just sharing your time and your wisdom. It's an honor.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking such great and thoughtful questions.
Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much, and we will chat on the next episode.